This is Hoosier Ag Today's morning podcast with the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather for Veterans Day, the 11th of November, 2022. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up in the news, we'll learn more about Purdue's Swine Environmental Research Building and more about Indiana poultry producers and their labor issue. The change is coming soon in Indiana weather. Ryan Martin has the cold details and maybe some snow to go along with it. And the markets yesterday lower, a sharp sell-off in soybeans and corn. Analysis coming up with Mike Silver. This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
And it's always like clean oil because most of my stuff leaks.
So, yes.
To agriculture.
We go from the cute and cuddly phase to the not so cute and cuddly phase.
You can cuddle with them at 290 pounds. It's probably against your will, I'm guessing.
And, well, other things.
He calls them all variable costs. That's bull. They're not variable costs.
I think you meant to say that's fertilizer, right? Staying on topic, Lee.
Listen now on all platforms.
Educating Indiana's future pig farmers and the Help Wanted sign is still on the door. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The stress you feel on a daily basis affects more than just your mood. Your physical health, your family, and your business could be suffering. Address it today by visiting extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. I had the opportunity recently to tour the Purdue University Swine Environmental Research Building in West Lafayette to learn about the work they're doing to help educate the future pork farmers of Indiana. Scott Radcliffe is the assistant department head in the Department of Animal Sciences at Purdue.
It's a truly unique facility. It really lets us look at whole barn mass balance, so we can look at all the nutrients that come into the barn, whether that's in the pigs that come in or the feed that comes in or even the incoming air. And we can also measure all the nutrients that go out, so we can quantitatively collect the manure from 24 different manure pits. We can measure the air that goes out of each of the 12 rooms and look at the emissions.
Radcliffe says the focus of the facility is on the nutrition, physiology, genetics, management, behavior, and welfare of swine.
So I think the overall goal of this facility is to really be able to reduce the environmental footprint of swine production, doing that in a way that's economically sustainable by the farmer, socially acceptable by the public, and that we maintain or improve upon the welfare and the well-being of those animals in that process.
Radcliffe explains some of the research they've conducted to that end.
We've done a lot of research looking at lowering the nitrogen content of the diet by feeding lower protein diets and bringing in synthetic amino acids, and we've been able to quantify that impact not just on nitrogen excretion, but also nitrogen emissions in the form of ammonia. We've also looked at rearing pigs with and without antibiotics. And so we've looked at the ability of what happens if we go completely antibiotic free and what impact that can potentially have on the environmental footprint of the facility.
Radcliffe tells Hat that student interest in the Department of Animal Sciences is increasing. 20 years ago, they had around 300 undergrad students in the program. That number has now grown to around 700 undergraduate students. Indiana is the fourth leading producer of turkeys in the United States, and with the busy Thanksgiving production season in full swing, the state's poultry producers are faced with a labor shortage. CJ Miller reports how Indiana's poultry industry is asking for help from lawmakers.
We just plain and simple don't have enough workers to do all the work we have here in Indiana.
And that's Rebecca Yonishgan, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association. Farm operations hiring temporary workers from other countries can only use those workers for several months out of the year. And while that may work for seasonal jobs at fruit and vegetable farms, the livestock industry is trying to get legislation passed that would allow those workers to stay on the job year-round.
These are live animals. You can't just tell the birds to idle and stop growing and stop producing eggs. This is a living system that is very scheduled and planned. It can't just stop on a dime and wait for labor to arrive. So it has very real and immediate effects up and down the food supply chain.
To try and solve that problem, the U.S. House in March of 2021 passed the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. It would modify the current H-2A work visa program. Yonash Gan and others in the ag industry are now asking lawmakers in the U.S. Senate to pass that bill as well.
Within it are programs that can really plug some gaps in this system and help support our work and our workers. We very much appreciate the efforts of Representative Jim Baird in the House, and we encourage Senators Young and Braun from Indiana to throw their support behind it as well.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Have you ever considered a career in agriculture? There are dozens of agribusinesses that have opportunities to work in this exciting field. These are high-paying positions with on-the-job training and advancement. On December 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Grand Park in Westfield, Indiana, these companies will be on hand for the Indiana Ag Career Fair. Come talk with these organizations. Then walk the show floor of the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo and experience the world of agribusiness. December 15th at Grand Park in Westfield. More details at IndianaFarmExpo.com.
Big time changes coming to the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what's going on. We've got our last warm day today. Now, some of you are going to be dealing with the last warm day by dealing with clouds and a little precipitation. The remains of Tropical System Nicole actually pushing a little bit farther west and north than I anticipated earlier in the week. So, yeah, draw a line from Fort Wayne to Vincennes. South of that line, I'm not going to rule out some light shower action and plenty of clouds. Now, north of that line, I think we can see some cloud offshoots as well. So it's going to be mild, yes, but we may have less sunshine than any other day earlier this week. Then we have to get ready for our frontal boundary. It comes through overnight tonight into tomorrow. Cold front that's going to dramatically alter the temperature landscape here. We're looking at a very cold Canadian air mass pushing in, and it's going to trigger some, I think, sloppy wet snowflakes over parts of the state, especially as we move through tomorrow afternoon, evening. It's not going to be an all-out snow event, but flurries, sure. We have a dramatic air mass change, and there's still some moisture lingering in the atmosphere, thanks to Nicole. And then we have lake effect that's going to pop up in northern tier counties, I believe, as we go through Sunday. Some lake effect snowflakes. Cold air holds through the entirety of next week. We have a reinforcing shot of cold air that comes in at midweek. With that reinforcing shot, we probably are going to be dealing with some on-again, off-again light snow overnight Wednesday night through Thursday. And then as we go into the later stages of the week, we're going to be seeing high pressure dominate. So, yes, we get sunshine back, but it is cold. I think temperatures average next week 10 to 15 degrees below normal. And this cold air mass, especially with the reinforcing shot that happens at midweek, is going to dive all the way down to near the Gulf Coast and into central Texas. So it is a very strong change in air mass, a change to cold air. It's going to dominate the discussions across the country this next week. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Down in the grain markets, this is Hoosier Ag Today in the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and we'll have all the numbers from a day of liquidation throughout trade, except if you're looking at equities and crude oil. The review is brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, providing quality seed, free delivery, personalized service, and local research data along with published prices. More at SeedGeneticsDirect.com. Those settlements coming up. First, market analysis, which I secured at the end of Thursday trade from Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain. Mike, very strong equity market, so a lot of money flowing there. No money, though, flowing into the ag markets throughout the daytime session.
So we have some weakness, and let's start with corn. Not the weak side leader, but it's really having a demand problem.
Indeed it is, Andy. Export sales this morning came out. They were not good. 265,000 metric tons of corn. Last week we were 372, and that was not a good number last week, but even a worse number this week. Soybeans came in at 794.9. Last week they were 830.2. Again, disappointing in the soybean export sales numbers. And 348,000 tons of wheat last week and 322 this week. That was the closest to last week number that we had. So just disappointing export sales numbers again. And, of course, that's that has the market's concern, and it should. We're behind the pace that we need to be on to meet the USDA export projections, so we need to kick that up. Now, on a positive note, we did have flash export sales numbers released today, yesterday, and the day before. So we've had three consecutive days of some flash export sales of corn and soybeans to different destinations in the world, China soybeans and Mexico corn, and a little bit of corn to China, but not much. That's a little glimmer of hope, but boy, we need to pump these export sales numbers up. Of course, yesterday we had the November WASD report, the World Outlook Board report. There were not a lot of changes, but there were some changes. USDA did increase the corn and soybean production slightly. They raised the average yield 0.4 bushel per acre for both corn and soybeans. So that puts the corn yield at 172.3 bushel the acre and the bean yield at 50.2. So I could say up 0.4 of a bushel an acre on those two. There were some slight adjustments made in the balance tables for corn and soybeans, but nothing significant. We in trade action today, in addition to what you mentioned, the money flow today is definitely out of the commodities markets and the grain markets in particular, and into the equity markets. Right now, I show the Dow up about 891 points. It's been up over 1,000 at one point in time. So managed money, as we've talked many times, Andy, is looking for the quickest return and the lowest risk return in any given trading session. And today that does appear to be out of the grains and into the equity markets. Now, the dollar index is down 2.047, trading at 108.5 right now. And that's been a little bit of a hindrance. Well, it's been more than a little bit of a hindrance. It's been a hindrance to our export business because that makes U.S. grains more costly in the world market. So perhaps, and I've got my fingers crossed as I say this, perhaps with this weakness in the dollar and the fact that we are down pretty sharply today before the market closes in both the soybean markets. Right now I'm showing beans down 30 cents in the January contract and December corn's down 11. And we've broken below the low end of our trading range. But perhaps this will combination of the lower prices and the lower trading dollar index may stimulate some flash export sales. So we'll be alert to see if that could happen tomorrow morning. Several other headwinds in the marketplace. The CPI data that was released today came in a little bit better than expected. The October CPI declined to 7.7%. That was a little better than what the trade expectation was. So that has fueled some of this money flow from the commodity markets into the equity markets. That is in play today. Global demand for grain and global economic concerns are definitely headwinds against upward price movement at the moment, but that can correct itself in a trading session. We've proven that time after time. We are, at the low end of the trading range in the grains right now. We've broken through some 200-day moving averages, and that's not good. But that can be recovered. South American weather is more in focus than it has been as U.S. harvest here. We're down to the short rows now in the corn harvest, and for all practical purposes, with just a few scattered fields here and there, soybean harvest is complete. But we're going to wrap this corn harvest up here probably in a week's time. The inbound flow of grain has backed off considerably. Still grain coming to town. But we're about to wrap corn harvest up here. So global weather patterns are going to come into play. Focus on South America. We're going to watch the demand side of the equation here really closely. And, of course, all the myriad factors that have been in play in our markets, the commodity markets, the energy markets, the equity markets, the treasury markets, it's all going to stay in play as we wrap up Harvest 22, Andy, and start to get ready and plan for crop year 23, which is right around the corner now. It's Friday, November the 11th, and it's Veterans Day. And I would be remiss if I did not express my personal appreciation, the appreciation of my company and my family, and I'm sure all of us, that how grateful we are for the service of our veterans to our company, to our country, to our beloved country. We are forever grateful, and we will never forget you. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans.
Mike Silver there, Kokomo Grain. Get Mike at 800-666-0613. Now the settlements from Thursday trade, double digits down in the corn market. December 653 and a quarter, 11 and a quarter off. March down 11 cents, 659 and a half. Beans also near 30 lower, 1430 and a half, 29 and a quarter down on the November contract, and 29 even lower Jan beans, 1423. December wheat makes a comeback, still falls a little short of even, 3 cents down at 803 and a half. Mixed meats, December live cattle, 153.07, up 150, and December lean hogs down 40, finishing at 84.87. Join Hat for the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Agra Financial and Reynolds Farm Equipment, featuring seminars with Chad Colby and the Purdue Crop Chat team. Check it out December 13 through 15 at Grand Park in Westfield. And that's a wrap on the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Veterans Day, the 11th of November, 2022. Our podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. For Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin too, I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm radio network.